We're going to be looking at Exodus, which is the second book in the Bible. So if you've got a Bible in the pew in front of you and you want to follow along, you'd be very welcome to. It's Exodus chapter 40, and that's on page 100 in these pew Bibles that are hopefully somewhere around you. You're welcome to turn to that and follow that with us.
So we're going to start off by reading verses 1 to 11, chapter 40. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Set up the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, on the first day of the first month. Place the Ark of the Covenant Law in it and shield the Ark with the curtain. Bring in the table and set out what belongs on it. Then bring in the lampstand and set up its lamps. Place the gold altar of incense in front of the Ark of the Covenant Law and put the curtain at the entrance to the tabernacle. Place the altar of burnt offering in front of the entrance to the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. Place the basin between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it. Set up the courtyard around it and put the curtain at the entrance to the courtyard. Take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and everything in it. Consecrate it and all its furnishings, and it will be holy. Then anoint the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils. Consecrate the altar, and it will be most holy. Anoint the basin and its stand, and consecrate them." We're going to finish off with verses 34 to 38. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting, because the cloud had settled on it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. In all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not set out until the day it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and fire was in the cloud by night, in the sight of the Israelites during all their travels.
Great. Thank you very much. So this week, we have been looking at fear through the book of Exodus. How even in scary situations, God showed his people that they had nothing to be afraid of. But even when we're told not to be afraid, we can still find things pretty scary. Now, I wonder what you did during your summer holidays. When I grew up, every summer was camping. Now, I hate camping. My dad always gave us instructions on how to put together a tent, but we were never that good at it. And we were never excited about the idea of doing it, because we knew what was going to end up living in this tent. Three boys. Three boys who'd fight and annoy each other and stink out the tent. This was not appealing. So we might be surprised that we get to the end of the book of Exodus, and it finishes with Moses putting up a tent. It seems crazy, because all week we've looked at these miraculous, amazing, mind-blowing, and terrifying things. But the last thing that happens here is God's people make a tent. That's a strange ending, right? Well, it's not, because what happens here is really huge. You see, in chapter 40, verses 1 to 15, God gives Moses a whole bunch of instructions on how to put this tent together. They might seem really quite odd to us. And then in the following verses, which is why we didn't bother reading it again, Moses just goes ahead and does it, exactly as God had asked him to do. You see, God wanted this tent to be exactly right because he intended to live in it. You see, the God of heaven, the God who created everything, told Moses, his friend, that he was willing to step down and to live inside this tent that his people had put together. Now that is huge. God, willing to come and live with his people. Time and again they told him, they don't need to be afraid if God is on their side. They didn't need to be scared of being alone, of being forgotten. He was going to move in and live with them. Now this is a ginormous moment in the history of Israel. It was the moment when God himself came and physically lived amongst his own people. And they knew that God was there because this cloud, this weird cloud came and moved inside the tent. And it was thick and it showed God's power and glory. Nobody wanted to get close. So much greatness, so much glory in there that Moses, even Moses himself, couldn't enter the tent except for once a year on a very special day. And that's why in verse 35 it says that the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, which is basically a fancy word for a tent. But why? Why did he do this? Well, he wanted his people to know that he was close by, that he cared, that he was with them, that he would protect them. They didn't need to be scared if they continued to trust and listen to God. Everything would go well. Now, God doesn't live in a tent anymore, but he still wants to be close. And the Bible tells us that God moved into our world in the person of his son Jesus. That's how he showed us his face. But we know, don't we, that Jesus didn't stay here on earth. He went back to be with his Father until the next time when he comes back for good. But again, the Bible tells us that he sent us a friend, somebody to live with us, somebody to show us that God is close, much closer now than he ever was when he was living in a tent. Because the Bible says if we trust in God, God is willing to come and live inside his friends, inside his people. Now imagine that. If that is true, and that is a big claim, but if that is true, that is amazing. That a God who might have created the universe might then come and want to live inside of us. So this is why on Holiday Club, we've enjoyed singing a particular song called Be Bold, Be Strong. Now, many of you are probably chuckling because you will have sang that yourself when you were much younger. I don't want to age you, but this song was written 2 years before I was born. So it just goes to show some songs are timeless. I'd love to invite the children back up here because you're really good at this song. And I want to invite the leaders too, just because. So if you're wearing a yellow t-shirt, you really can't hide. Everybody knows you should be up here. So do come on up. Come up to the front. Stand on the stage again. And we're going to get our echo going. Please do feel free to join in this song. Most of many, many of you will know it quite well. That was brilliant. And that was something we need to remember, isn't it? That we can be bold. We can be strong. We can be confident. But there's one other thing that I think is really worth pointing out about this tent that we've been looking at in Exodus 40. Though it was absolutely amazing that God's willing to come down to earth and live inside this tent, it also created a massive problem. How could such a perfect and holy God live amongst people who were so broken? You see, we saw that the Hebrews had been given rules to live by, but they were constantly breaking them. We don't keep our own rules. So how could these people live near and not be destroyed by this almighty, all-powerful, glorious God? Well, in chapter 40, it tells us that this big curtain was put up in the tent. Now, that's not a curtain like you'd find in your bedroom. This was really huge. This was really thick. You couldn't get past it. And on one side, in one area of the tent, lived this holy God. And on the other side, you had the people. God was really close, but there was this barrier between them. Something that stopped them from being together. It might be a bit like saying, you've got a really good friend called Larry, right? And Larry lives on the other side of the wall. I mean, you've never actually spoken to him face to face because there's always been a wall in the way. But you kind of know Larry's there. and you've had some conversations, but you don't really get to know each other properly because there's a barrier. He's close, but he's also separate. So if you have your Bible still open, if you look with me at what Moses is told to do in verse 30, it's on page 100. It says, place the ark of the covenant law in it, in the tabernacle, and shield the ark with a curtain. The curtain. And then in verse 9 and 10, it says, take this anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and everything in it. Consecrate it and all its furnishings, and it will be holy. Then anoint the altar of burnt offerings and all its utensils. Consecrate the altar, and it will be most holy. So this was a room that normal people couldn't enter because it was too holy, too pure, too good. And you see, the issue with God's holiness is bad things cannot come near without being destroyed. Nothing bad can come near a God if he is only ever good. If you think about the sun, you can't get too close to such heat and such power without getting burnt up. Now, I know personally, my heart is really bad, and I wouldn't want to risk getting close to an almighty, all-powerful, all-holy God. I wouldn't stand a chance. So this all seems kind of weird, right? We get to the end of Exodus, and things look fairly good. God's living with his people. He's shown them that they don't need to be afraid. They don't need to be scared of being alone, of bad things happening, because he promises to be with them. In fact, it says the only thing that they should fear now is God himself, God's holiness. But that's not fear in the way that we think about fear. It's more a kind of respect. They should fear God by respecting him, by trusting him, by loving him, but by recognizing that he is more powerful and more mighty and more holy than they are. It's a bit like we don't need to be scared of the sun or the sea, but we know that they're more powerful than us, so we treat them with respect. On a hot day, we might apply sun cream. When it's a really stormy day, we probably don't want to go out to sea on an inflatable dinghy. We have respect for things that are more powerful than we are. We have a right fear of those things. And it's like that, but more so with God. So on a holiday club this week, we have been looking at dinosaurs, haven't we? And we had our very own slightly mad T-Rex called Sandra. And one of the things that we learned about Sandra is she might be a little bit scary, but if you always treat her in the correct way, then she won't eat you, which was encouraging. But we had a song that we liked to sing, didn't we? And this song we sang to wake that dinosaur up. Ironically, because the whole song is about not waking her up. But by the end, we thought it was pretty funny, so we sang it quite loudly. So I'm going to ask all of the children to go there and to watch the screen. And we're going to watch our holiday club video, and the kids are going to sing it really loudly to you. And if they sing it really loudly, we might even wake the dinosaur. So if you want to all get somewhere where you can see this big screen, we'll see how we get on. So, chapter 40 is this great place to finish in our story of Exodus. But the Bible doesn't finish there. In fact, this is only the second book in the Bible. See, after a while, God's people settle in a land that they've been given, and they build a temple. So God moves out of this tent into a swanky, fancy, shiny temple. And inside that temple is still a really special room, a holy room for God to live in. But again, there's this huge curtain to keep the people from getting too close to God. You don't want to get too close to anger things that are bigger and scarier than you. And this curtain that hung up in the temple was so thick. It was like the size of the palm of your hand. Can I see the palm of your hand? You hold it out like that? That's about how thick the curtain was. And if we were going to solve this problem of a barrier between God and his people. What are we supposed to do? Well, you see, like we've been learning all week, that's why Jesus, for Christians, is our hero. See, Jesus lived this perfect life. He was the only man who ever lived who could have gone behind the curtain any day of the week and been fine, because he never did anything wrong. He wouldn't have been destroyed. This was no ordinary man. This was God's son. But Jesus then let himself die at the hands of his enemies because he decided he was the solution to our problem. He was going to take this punishment for sin on himself. All our rebellion, all of us telling God to shove off because we're in charge and not him. So Jesus then went to this cross and he died to save us. Now, kids, on Holiday Club, we learnt a special memory verse, didn't we? I wonder if you can still remember it. It's been almost 2 days. So I want you to stand up, and your leaders might want to help you out if they can remember it too. So let's try as loudly as we can to tell all of these adults what the memory verse is that we learnt this week. Are you ready? Nice and loud. Ari, you were good at this as well. Do you want to stand at the front and show them in case they panic? Okay. Are you ready? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Well done. Round of applause. Guys, can I have another sit down? Okay. But do you know what happened on the day that Jesus died? God had sent his son to give people eternal life. And something incredible happened that day that nobody was expecting. And if we haven't looked at this story in Exodus 40, we might not really have understood it. We might have missed what was going on. And it's only one verse in the whole gospel, whole of the story about Jesus' life. But it's really important. So Jesus was on the cross, dying for the sins of the world. And with a loud cry, he breathed his last. Then Mark chapter 15, verse 38 says this: "The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." Has anybody in here ever tried to rip a telephone directory in half? That used to be the in thing. Did anybody ever try that? Put your hand up if you've ever given that a go. Just Adam. Okay, yeah, about three people have done that. It is pretty much impossible. And that's not even that big. I mean, a telephone directory is what, this big? It's pretty small, but it's impossible. Now imagine a massive curtain with this huge rip that goes all the way down from top to bottom at exactly the same time that Jesus died. Now that can't just be a coincidence, can it? I have here a curtain. This is such a little curtain. It's cute, isn't it? Okay, can I get two volunteers? May I come up here? Okay, Noe, do you want to do this as well? Okay. What I want you to do is rip this curtain in half together. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3, go. Come on, rip it. No, like in half. Come on, rip it. It's just little curtain. Nice try, guys. Thank you so much. Did somebody else want to have a go? Maybe some strong... Yeah, do you want to come up? You look, Emily, you look quite strong today. Let's see. Let's see if you can do it. Okay, ready? Rip. Come on, look how small it is. It's not tug of war, guys. You're trying to rip it. No? Anybody else? Well done, good job. All right. Yeah, do you want to come up? Come on. Come on, Harry. Right. It's your last chance. Let's see. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, rip! Okay, well done. Good effort. Sit down. Thank you so much. This is a tiny curtain. It wasn't very easy to rip, was it? Imagine a curtain this thick, ripping from top to bottom. That would be remarkable. That would be amazing. And that is what happened in our story. Something incredible. You see, the temple curtain got ripped, and something really important was happening here. Jesus had just died to pay the price for our sin and for our rebellion, us telling God to shove off. But that punishment was then paid, so God could be close to us again. You see, there was no longer any barrier that separated God from his people, from the people who loved him. All of that punishment was removed. It was taken by Jesus on the cross so that we can be close to God again. So that is why God can now come and live in his people through his special Holy Spirit. At one time, that would have destroyed us. No way can that God live inside us. But now, he can. There's no barrier anymore. He can show us how to love him, how to live for him, how to love other people. That's what we learned on Friday, wasn't it? We're to love God and we're to love other people. Those are the important things that we're called to do. And this is wonderful news, because God's light now shines into our hearts. And then because of that, we're then able to get that same light to shine out through us. So even in times when we're scared, when we're lonely, when we're afraid, we can know God's light in our lives. We don't need to be afraid. And that's why we learned this next song at Holiday Club. Because it's this great reminder that God can shine his light through us into a dark and scary world. So we don't need to fear God. We don't need to fear anything, because he's now on our side. He's fighting for us, so we can let our light shine. And so we're going to stand and we're going to sing. Now on this song, I need you all to stand down there, because you know this song and it will end badly if you're up here. So you're going to have to go and stand on this bottom. We're going to sing this song. You're welcome to join us. The words are going to come up on the screen. It's got quite fun actions, so you can enjoy just sitting down and watching the children, but feel free to join in. Kids, do you want to face that way? And I'm going to get some of your leaders to do the actions at the front. They can just copy me if they want. And you're going to face your scary-looking adults. And we're going to do this song for them, okay? You know this song. It's really easy now. And just in case you're wondering, this is an Australian song, so you have to do it in an Australian accent. In case you're wondering why my voice goes a bit funny partway through. Okay, are you ready? We can do this. Make sure you don't bang into anybody and crush them. Ready? Let's do it.
Jesus!
Enjoyed Holiday Club as much as I have enjoyed Holiday Club. I'm thankful that it's over, but I'm glad we did it together. But just in case you thought you hadn't had enough, Kids Club starts this Friday. So if you want to come along to Kids Club, if you have any children who are in year 1 to 6 at school, they'd be very welcome to join us. It's a bit like Holiday Club, but it happens every week, so it's even better. So do think about coming along to this. We have had a brilliant week, and we want to show you a little bit what we've been doing this week. So children, if you want to sit here, you're going to want to see the screen. So if you want to come over here, we're going to play our Holiday Club video. In case you didn't get enough of that song, we'll play it again. So you'll all want to be able to see this. This, just want to finish our service by showing you a little bit of what we got up to this week, and some of the fun and the craziness that we've just had.